Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thanks for that. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton here at the AACC World Conference 2025. United is this year's theme, and united we are for such a time as this, even in the face of so much division and confusion in our culture today. Well, today I'm honored to have a very special guest on the broadcast. He's also our closing headline speaker to address over 7,000 conference attendees. He is the one, he is the only, Dr. Henry Cloud. You know him from his books on leadership and boundaries, such critical clinical topics, but also for the layperson. He offers so much for your faith walk and your mindset. Dr. Cloud is an acclaimed leadership expert, psychologist, and best-selling author. He draws on his extensive experience in clinical psychology and leadership development to impart practical and effective advice. His 45 books, including the iconic Boundaries, have sold nearly 20 million copies worldwide. He has an extensive executive coaching background and experience as a leadership consultant, devoting the majority of his time working with CEOs, leadership teams, and executives to improve performance, leadership skills, and culture. So much to cover. Welcome, Dr. Henry Cloud.
Good to be here.
I've shared this now a couple of times in the interviews and just conversations, but we had to pick the theme for 2025 back in 2022. And so as our team was praying, right, as we're trying to develop graphics and more to be able to promote this event, we felt like God placed it on our hearts to have the theme be united. And man, what a time that we need unity more than ever, especially with the cultural division and the divide and just the destruction that we're seeing all across the world and culture. Speak to, again, just the importance of this gathering.
I know this is theologically not exactly right, what I'm about to say, but everybody's going to understand it. What's the only time in the Bible you see God kind of get scared? Now, I know there's something wrong with that, but the Tower of Babel. He looked down. And I'm paraphrasing the Hebrew, right? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Look at these humans. He said, because they are united, because they're of one mind, because they're all together, they can accomplish whatever they put their mind to. Because the unity was the power that drove it. He didn't knock down the tower. He broke apart their unity. He fragmented them. Now, roll the clock forward. When Jesus is starting out with his little group there in the upper room, he didn't pray for the marketing, the finance, and all of that. He prayed for one thing, that they might be one. Because it is the most powerful force of getting things from here to there. So, you said for such a time as this, but that's 2,000 years ago, and Tower of Babel waving. It is, you know, God is one.
That's right.
So the more we can come together as one, the more good stuff we can do.
You know, I look at you as, again, a guru and an expert on leadership. You spend a lot of time working with team cultures and so much more. You have countless books out there on the topic, but a lot of what you teach is that leadership is relational, right? It's about relationship. It's about building culture because culture is dynamic. Speak to, I would love just to hear up front, a couple of the characteristics that you think describe a good biblical leader.
Well, there's a lot of different ways that you can go at that. You can go at it. I wrote a book called Integrity. And that term, you know, in the Christian world, everybody man on the street interview. What is integrity? Well, and it gets reduced to moral constructs. Like, well, if you trust somebody and they have integrity, then they're honest. You know, they don't lie, cheat, or steal, basically. Integrity is a word that means the roots of it are integrated. that all the different parts are working together, of which moral and ethical functioning is one part. But you go to 2 Peter 1, for example, and it lists, to your question, it lists traits. It says, if you're going to be fruitful, add to your faith. So we start with somebody of faith. Yeah. But add to your faith moral excellence. You know, if somebody's lying, cheating, and stealing, that's even permission to play. You can't even be there.
That's right.
You can't deal with that. But add to that moral excellence, and then it says knowledge. The great leaders are curious students. They look for the truth. They look for reality. They study. They get coaching. They're always, 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 always increasing their knowledge. And then it goes from there to self-control. The great leaders, how many times you ever work for a leader that's not ready, aim, fire? They're fire, ready, aim.
Yeah.
Or they're chasing the latest shiny object, or they have an anger problem, right, or whatever it is. But they have good emotional regulation. And then to your self-control, once you're in control and headed somewhere, it says you got to have perseverance. How many times do people quit? Or when it gets hard, things, you know, it kind of goes sideways. Yeah. But they'll hammer through it. And then to your perseverance, it says mutual affection. Think about that. How many teams do you see focusing on how is our mutual affection and love and support for what each part does,
yeah,
so that we can support us, and then to that brotherly kindness and to that love. Right. So when you're talking about leadership qualities, what you're talking about is a whole person. I mean, how many times have you been around somebody that wouldn't lie, cheat, or steal, but if you said, would you want to work for them again? You go, no. Well, those are these other things.
Yeah.
So you've got that kind of personal makeup stuff. But then leadership is a science. One of the things I tell leaders all the time is, look, you got a problem. And the problem is you're good at something. It was finance or marketing or evangelism or, you know, management or whatever it was. And you're so good at it that now they've put you over other people, and now you have a second career. The first one you were trained for, the second one is leadership, and you were never trained for it. So you got to treat that as its own discipline and learn the science of leadership. And so that's where you get into big things like vision and strategy and execution and change management and measurement and accountability systems and all of the great leadership topics. So just because somebody is a godly person doesn't mean they're ready to lead something.
That's right. Very true.
Or just because they're talented.
When I look at, and even hearing your answer and response there, at the heart of leadership, at the heart of relationship is trust. You have a best-selling book on that very topic. And I think even in the Christian community, we place a lot of emphasis on forgiveness, right? We talk about how forgiveness is something that is often given, it's free. But trust is something that not many people talk about. And it's something a lot of people struggle with, Dr. Cloud, because when you've been hurt and when you've been wounded in relationship, it's like, how can I trust somebody else to do the very same thing, right? I don't want to get hurt again. And we become very protective. We start to stonewall people out of our lives. Speak to what was the heart and what was the premise behind that book?
I get called into situations
by
boards or by CEOs or whoever. And whether it's a performance problem, a culture problem, whatever it is, you don't get in there very far or very long looking under the hood before you find a breakdown in some kind of trust. Because trust fuels investment. Stakeholders put money into things, donors, investors, because they trust what you're going to do with it.
That's right.
People buy your product because they trust the product and they trust you. People work for you because they trust you and they're fully engaged if they trust. But when trust isn't there, it's like one foot in and one foot out. It's like a marriage.
Yeah.
You ever been on a team where somebody's got one foot in and one foot out? That's the algorithm running through our system that God built in. It goes down your spinal cord, into your gut, into your brain, into your heart, into your psyche. It's running a system 24/7 asking one question, am I safe? So what that algorithm has done its work, and you don't even know this consciously, but it's decided this air is safe to breathe. So you've been breathing and you hadn't even thought about it. Wow. You've been careless because we can trust it. But if you smelled a fume, then all of a sudden you'd stop, you'd hit pause. Mm-hmm. And if it was really bad, you'd run outside, fight or flight from something's going to hurt us, right?
Yeah.
And so life works like that. And when you have a marriage or you have a company or you have a relationship, we need to be able to be careless with each other. Mm. I mean, I'm sure there's many, many married people here at this conference and they got a spouse at home. Yeah. That spouse hopefully is not obsessing, I wonder if I should be checking their phone. What are they really doing?
Right.
They need to be careless and able to do whatever they're doing. If you got a team, you got to be able to delegate and trust people to scale anything. It's so fascinating when you see God. If you want to study delegation, there's no bigger delegator than God. Mm. Go to the garden, and I love this passage. He said, tells Adam, go name the animals. And then it says, and then the Lord God watched the man to see what he would name them. Totally delegated, entrusted that to him.
Wow.
But then you go to the parable of the talents, he entrusted more to the ones that performed. Hmm. And to the one that didn't, he took it away and gave that chair to somebody else. So forgiveness is free, and forgiveness has to do with the past. Hmm. It only takes one person to forgive. Trust is not free. Trust is earned, and trust has to do with the future. I'm trusting you because it's something that I want you to go do for me, right? And it has to do with the future, and that's got to be earned. So there's a past. It's got to have been proven before we entrust. Wow. And there's a science to it. And that's what the book is about. The book is about I did a factor analysis, you know what that means, of all the 8,000 things about trust. And you do a factor analysis, and it basically loads into five big things. Mm. And a lot of times we'll trust somebody based on one or two and not look at the others, and then we get burned. Mm. So that's what the book's about. And how to rebuild it.
I was about to say, that's where I want to go next, Dr. Cloud, because I'm thinking about maybe an audience member out there who has breached somebody's trust. Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they've made a plethora of mistakes over and over. They've fallen into a pattern. And I'm just thinking about, what are some of the characteristics or the ingredients that are necessary to rebuild or restore trust within a relationship? I know it takes two people, because ultimately one person can be working their soul out to build it up, and another person has to be receptive enough to recognize the process of progress somebody's on. But what are these ingredients to restore it?
Well, and you point out something important. You know, we can make a trust error in one of two directions. It's not just that we trust the wrong people, and we make big mistakes and trust the wrong people sometimes, or trust the right people in the wrong context. Mm. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Somebody's been really good at something. Oh, I trust him in my life. You put him over here, but he shouldn't have done that because that context isn't really what they're gifted for or proven for or whatever. Mm. So we trust the wrong people, but our trust muscle can also be broken. Mm. So that we don't trust people that we should. And that's where you get into controlling behavior, micromanagement, commitment, phobia. People are afraid to trust and let go. I mean, how many women have you talked to in your practice where she thought this was the one and the guy had a commitment phobia?
Yep.
And everything was great. And the reason he broke up with her was because she was so great. It was calling for his heart. To take a step, you couldn't do it. And so this algorithm is really important. And what I believe, and what I think all the research validates and the scriptures validate, is that it's really based on five things. We trust somebody when we feel like they understand me. And that's neurologically based. Sometimes people try to talk people into trusting them. Your words are way after the whole system has sensed through real empathy and listening and understanding that they're with me and they really get me. Mm. And I start to feel deeply understood. I got to know to trust you. I got to know that you know what's important to me, what hurts me, what I'm afraid of, what I need to have happen. And you really, really understand. Mm. That's when we start to open up. That's what mirror neurons and tone and all that stuff too. Number two, though, you can understand me, but what if you're understanding me for the wrong motive? You have all this empathy. I mean, that's what predators do.
Yeah.
They lure somebody in with empathy, but the second part of trust is, what's their motive? Who's this for? Mm. And we've got to sense, like the scripture says, that you are not merely interested in your own interests, but also in the interests of others, yes. And that you really get happy for my good. So what's the motive? Well, we can have all that, but then do you really have the ability to pull off what I'm entrusting to you? I'll tell the story in my talk later, but a friend of mine called me and said his daughter's boyfriend was asking him out to dinner. He said, I know what that means. He's going to ask me for her hand. Wow. And he said, what do you say? I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got two daughters. He said, what? I said, I'm going to tell him to bring his last 2 years' tax returns and his credit report.
Yeah.
And he says, right. I said, I'm dead serious. Hmm. You got a boyfriend, maybe great understanding and empathy, really loves her, really for her. But the job description of a husband is very different than the job description of a boyfriend. I want to know if he can run a life, because she's going to join her life to his.
That's a good word.
So we got competency that enters in there. And then once you have those things, then you have the character piece in the way I talked about a moment ago. Do they have the makeup to do what I'm entrusting to them? So when trust is broken, then we got to start over. And that's when you flip the relationship. The offender, for you to trust him again after he's failed or betrayed, then you've got to really feel like he understands how what he did hurt you or hurt the organization. And it's got to be very other-oriented. Instead of, oh, I'm so bad. No, I don't care about that. Yeah. You want to know godly sorrow is based on love.
That's right.
So do they really get it, how this hurt you? And they're sorry for that, but they get it. Number two, same thing. Do you sense that their motive is now, instead of, because whatever it did, if it was a betrayal, it was for self-interest. That's different than a mistake. Have they really, really had some awakening that makes them want to serve your interests and the organization's interests or the marriage's interests? Like Gottman says, a betrayal is when one party does something without considering the effects it's going to have on the other. Have they gotten over their self-centeredness and all that? And then you just go down the list. And when you start to hear that and really, really feel it, and then you take baby steps. See, a lot of people equate forgiveness and trust. Somebody says, I'm sorry, oh, I forgive you. They go right back to where they were.
That's right.
Husband moves back in after an affair. Well, wait a minute. You can forgive.
Yes.
But let's talk about this process where somebody's got to earn their way back in. Maybe start with just being together in the counseling office. And then you expand from there. But if somebody's failed, you say, so they'll never trust them again? No. On that day, I don't trust you tomorrow, but now we're going to get a new past.
Yes.
Now you can say, well, this happened, but in the past 2 years, they've gone to recovery and they've gone to therapy and they've done all this. And now we're going to maybe be in a good place where we can trust again. So it's a process.
I want to wrap up this way, Dr. Cloud, because I'm thinking about a person out there who maybe feels like they're not living their desired life. Maybe they find themselves in a season of discouragement and disappointment, maybe in the pit of despair. They feel like they're trying to live a life of integrity. They're trying to pursue God, but because maybe their expectations in life aren't being met, they're beginning to question why they believe what they believe.
Sure.
What's a final word of hope or encouragement or motivation that you might offer that audience member today?
You are in one scene in a long movie. And you got to remember that. If you're watching a movie on Netflix and you hit pause and the rom-com, everything fell apart, that's one scene.
Yes.
And he actually promised us that we would have that scene. And his whole story is about people. So I don't want you to feel bad that you're in that place, because the book tells us, yeah, that's going to happen in this life. But it also tells us a couple of things that I want to encourage somebody with. Wherever you are, and even if you can't believe, you can utter that. God, I don't even have faith right now. Will you give me some? What you have to do is let somebody into that circle of knowing where you are. Mm. Because even if you don't have faith, you can borrow theirs.
Yes.
And you got to have somebody that's come in like Job, not like Job's friends and give you a bunch of pat answers, but really sits with you and understands. Mm. And they can help you find the right talent because something hadn't been brought to the party yet that you need. It might be the right therapist. It might be the right medicine. It might be the right experience. It might be the right support. But something's missing, and God has that provision. But I don't want you trying to do it alone. And I want you to at least find one hand that you can hold that can lead you back to the camp where the supplies are, because you don't have to do this by yourself.
Yes.
Please hear that. There's no such thing as self-help. That's the stupidest term. If I'm the one that's going to help me, I thought I was the one that needed help. No, I'm the one that's going to help. If I can do it, I don't need help, right? Help comes from the other. And first, that's God. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, when he's talking about his despair, where he was, or whatever word he used, he said, but God, who comforts the depressed, sent Titus to me. Mm. Who's your Titus?
Who's your Titus? Right, there's no healing and hiding. What you were saying is God's not afraid of your wrestling. He's not afraid of your doubt. Bring it to him, because ultimately that peace can only be found in his presence anyway. So when we wrestle with God, at least we're in the presence of the Almighty. It reminds me of the Father in Scripture who was beckoning with Jesus. I believe, but help my unbelief. And one of my lowest moments, Dr. Cloud, I'll never forget God imparting and really implanting on my heart and in my soul and in my spirit that in the absence of clarity, there's an invitation to intimacy with him, but like you said, also with others. He gives us friends for the fire, and he's the fourth man in the fire as well. Dr. Henry Cloud, my friend, I can't thank you enough on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, all of us here at the AACC for your time today. But I want to ask one last question to our audience. Where can they go to find out more about you?
I hate these last questions.
Where can they go to find out more about you, maybe to pick up a copy of your newest book, Why I Believe, and your upcoming book, Your Desired Future?
Well, you can get the books, as I used to say, wherever books are sold, right? That's one click away. But I would encourage them, go to my site, boundaries.me. Mm. Not boundaries.com, but boundaries.me. 100 courses.
Wow.
On all of these topics of the pie of life. I've got 20-something long-form seminars.
Wow. Easy. Go to boundaries.me. Dr. Henry Cloud, my friend, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being here at our event. We love and appreciate you, my friend.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.